Stand by for the Dollar Doctors coming up next on KB Radio. While Willard and Peter warm up their computers, a reminder that for years, the Dollar Doctors have presented free, useful workshops describing their supply and demand approach to the market. Many have attended these strictly educational workshops and have learned about this methodology that's been around for 100 years and works as well today as ever. The Dollar Doctors use this supply and demand method to help determine the probable future trend of any stock or mutual fund. Over the years, hundreds of attendees have used this method to better make unemotional decisions on when to buy and when to sell. You may be among those who, while listening to the Dollar Doctors, have watched the very charts they're discussing. The supply and demand method has many advantages, but one disadvantage: it does require vigilance and can be time-consuming if you really want to feel that you're on top of your assets. That's why, over time, some of Willard and Peter's listeners have asked them to manage their investment portfolios as well as their 401ks. Sapriston Asset Management now manages investments for several hundred clients who found it comforting to know that Sapriston Asset Management is watching over their financial well-being and who feel a time-consuming burden's been lifted from their shoulders. If you've ever considered having Sapriston Asset Management help you with your investment decisions, you can easily get full information with no obligation by calling Peter or Willard at 854-7541. They'll be glad to inform you of the many ways they can help. That phone number again, 716-854-7541, or call toll-free at 800-879-7541. And now here are the Dollar Doctors.
Good morning and welcome to the Dollar Doctor Show, brought to you by Sapriston Asset Management, member FINRA, SIPC, registered with the MSRB and an RIA. I'm Peter Greco.
Good morning, Peter. David Brownstein, how are you on this little bit dreary day?
Little dreary.
Yeah. Day before Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day.
That's right. Yeah, boy. Amazing how soon that comes around every year, too. Mm-hmm. You know. Right now, it is Saturday, May 12th. 2018. It is 10:04 in the morning, and we always say that because the show is rebroadcast at midnight on this station, ESPN 1520 AM, unless there's a sporting event. Then it'll be on after the sporting event. Also, the show is available every Saturday morning, live streaming from 10 to 11 a.m. If you go to our website, sapriston.com, that's sapriston.com, and you go to the Dollar Doctor Show there, and you can get the show live streaming on most devices that connect to the internet. Also at the website, all of our shows are archived, so you can either catch the archive show if you missed the show or you want to replay the show. The archive show is usually up fairly soon, although every once in a while it takes a little while. And I will also mention, if you know you have a problem, you know, with the archive shows that are live streaming, I think there's a email at the bottom that you can contact the actual girl who takes care of the show, you know, and tell them about
you're looking at me like I'm supposed to agree with you. I have no idea.
You had no idea, but I think it's there, and you can do that first, you know. Besides, you know, and if you don't get a response, you can always contact us, because we don't know, the archive show didn't get up early and that type of thing. So but always contact her first, and you know, you should get a reply. Also, finally, last but not least, at the website, usually late Friday, early Saturday, whatever, there's a free economic report by Stone and McCarthy.
Yes, there is. And it's kind of interesting this week that they're backing off on the enthusiasm that they had about how great the economy was and inflation's a problem and so many jobs and blah, 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 and something I've been saying for a while. Now, I'm not patting myself on the back because nobody's ever right all the time, but it's just been a feeling that this economy is not as strong as they were saying, and it's absolutely true, and there's a number of factors. I was listening.
It's absolutely true?
Absolutely true. I was listening to our sister station talking at a real estate show that's on the hour before us, and they were talking about, well, you know, people aren't selling their houses because they're fearful that they can't find a house to buy. And I thought that was kind of odd. You know, they're not selling their houses because they can't find a house to buy.
And, well, and I can somewhat understand that, you know.
Because
A, because they don't want to get into a big bidding war and pay some ridiculous price for another house.
Right.
You know, so, right. I mean, if I was able to sell my house and get a decent house again for a lower price, I'd do it, right?
Well, that's you.
But it doesn't happen.
You're the odd one.
Yeah, right. I'm the odd one, right. But anyway,
Most of us that have houses and have had them for 30, 40, 50 years, it's sticker shock when going out to look at we're so enthused about what we can get for our house, but it's people I know our age talked about these patio homes. Oh, let's go. You're talking $400,000, $500,000 for a patio. I mean, it's expensive. But then it's the thing I've been talking about. How do you get qualified for it? It's hard to get qualified for these because the prices are so high that they don't have a lot of comparables. So the banks are not very lenient on loaning for this, plus 20% down payment. And so this is something I've been talking about for a while. And it just, you know, I like it like this where it's, you know, low inflation. I know unemployment's 3.9%, but I don't think that's, you know, the real unemployment. I think it's closer to 8. And so it's, you know, we're still not near that full employment, but they keep talking about it academically. The reality of it is it's different. I think Mr. Powell, new Fed chairman's going to be more dovish towards raising rates. And I don't know. Next month, everybody's expecting it. It's like 100% certainty.
Well, I could go on with this saying your reality is based on a real estate person in Buffalo. Is that it?
No. I'm just saying it's a confirmation. It's different from
the— How do you know what's going on in the whole country?
Oh,
there's areas of the country
relative
that are booming like
it's
anything.
All relative.
Yeah, exactly.
Believe me, it's all relative.
Believe me. You can't generalize. But anyway.
I do. I can
but
do
there is this free economic report. If you want, there is this free economic report by Stone and McCarthy. They're economists. What do economists know? But at any rate, you get a little overview of what happened in the economy, and their take on it. You know, for the previous week.
And you should read it week by week because you really get a feel for
exactly
what's going on.
Yeah.
In the whole country.
Yeah. So right now, phone lines, as usual, are wide open, 803-1520. That's 803-1520. Toll free, 800-879-7541.
And what about the other way that we—
And also, I was getting to that.
I'm hurrying you up. We have information. We've got somebody
ready.
We're
rolling already. But anyway,
we do
really like to get the phone calls. You know, we'd like to talk to you. We do give preference to the phone calls if we see a phone call pop up. Mm-hmm. But If you don't want to call us for some reason, you can go to the website, saperston.com. That's SAPERSTON.com. Go to the tab that says Dollar Doctor Show, and there'll be a little drop down. It says live streaming. Click on live streaming. And you have to roll to the bottom of the page, and there's a chat box there, and you can type in a symbol. And if you do that, you know, let us know whether you're looking to buy, looking to sell, looking to hold. It helps us a little bit in, you know, trying to analyze it if you do put it in the chat box. So phone numbers again, 803-1520, toll free, 800-879-7541. And what's going on?
In the chat box, we have three stocks that somebody's asking, and they're looking to buy. First
they're
one
looking
is
to buy. Okay.
DEO, Diageo, closed at 144.49.
D-E-O.
D as in David, E as in Edward, O as in Oscar.
Take a look at that. Yeah, that one looks very nice.
Booze.
Is that it? That's all I have to say. It looks nice.
Thank you very much. Okay.
All right, we're done. Anyway, Diageo closed at 144.69.
Nice.
Nice. Well, you know, decently above its 200-day moving average. And I like to see that. You know, I like it. You know, a stock is bullish above its 200-day moving average.
Which is
137.40.
Thank you.
And it closed at 144.69. It had been consolidating for a while. So the support for it now would be around the 130 to 132. I would definitely get a little concerned, if it dropped to 130. And right now the price target for what it's worth by the point and figure chart is 170.
Sign me up.
So if you go, you know, on the risk reward, and the, you know, so you're talking theoretically 14 point downside risk, and about 26 points upside. So you're getting close to 2-1. Right now, it would have to challenge its old high in the 146 or so area. go to 148, that would be a new breakout. So I do like the stock here. You know, I think, you know, the risk is worth it. And, yeah, it looks nice. And also it tends to be somewhat of a defensive position in a way, Diageo. Yeah, so that one's all right. What's next?
Next we have EMR. Emerson Electric.
Yeah.
An old name.
I wonder what that's
been doing.
It's
closed at $72.
Really?
Yeah. Looks like this is the previous chart.
Hmm.
To me, untrained as I am.
Untrained. Well, okay. Interesting part about Emerson was it came down to its long-term uptrend line, bounced off it. Held support twice in the 66 area, so you're looking for 66 to be support. Upside target, for what it's worth again, is 85. You know, once again, this is by their method, you know, the point and figure method of calculating targets. You know, I don't know if anybody's ever figured out how many times it's correct, but the problem is that 85, you don't know when. You don't know, hey, it hit 85 2 years later, it was right, you know.
Right.
So, but it does give you a way to decide risk-reward, and the stock closed at what, 72, you said?
On the button.
65 is the risk area to consider reevaluating it. So that would be what, 7-point downside versus theoretically 13-point upside. Once again, almost 2-to-1. What you have to watch, it made a double top twice in the 74 area. So, you know, if you're looking to buy it, be aware that you have that resistance in the 74 area. But if you're willing to take the risk down to 65, if you got it to 75, you've broken out completely, and then you do have a shot at that potential 85 area. So be aware of resistance in the 74 area.
Okay.
But it looks okay.
All right. Last one is Microsoft for the hat trick. Close at 97.
Well, that 70. One you should have owned a long time ago.
You hated that stock.
I hate the company. Not the stock.
I'm sorry.
I hate the company.
Oh, okay. All right.
If you have
to be on
computers all day, you have to hate Microsoft, you know. You ever see the blue screen that keeps popping up from time to time?
When No, never happens.
You're lucky.
No. Well.
It will happen to you.
I only have problems with my printer.
Well, believe me.
That you can't
fix. We've had a number of computers in our organization we've had to replace because they keep getting hit with the blue screen.
Oh, boy.
But anyway, Microsoft right now is up to resistance.
Okay.
Fourth time. Is this the charm?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I'm looking at 6 going back
to
February.
Well, on the point and figure
chart.
Got it. On the point and figure chart.
I'm looking at the whatever.
Yeah, you're looking at a bar chart probably, which I like to look at.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's been
making
nice rising bottoms. The 200 day is 84.73, closed at 97.
70, yeah.
So, I mean, theoretically, the long-term investor would potentially be out at that breakdown, which would be in the, 87 area. You weren't paying attention to me?
No. You know what's big about
breakdown
Microsoft?
To be in the 87 area. But and the long and the 200 day is in the 84.73.
Mm-hmm.
So those are two support areas for the stock. A complete breakout would be a move to 98. So you might want to watch for that move to 98. You know, as a buy, be aware of the risk areas. And, you know, even though this only has a potential target of 104 on it, that's by one method of calculation. But looking at it, it's been going sideways for what? Since February, really, with a slight upward bias. But it's since February, it's actually hit that 96, 97 area, I could say the fifth time. You know?
Artificial intelligence is their new area that they're
exactly. I mean, it's all sorts of, you know, great reasons you
some
can convince
clouds.
Yourself. But,
yeah,
I mean, you may at this point want to wait or on a pullback, you know, is another possibility. But you know, if it did hit 98, that's a complete new breakout. And, you know, breaking out of that consolidation, if I did it a different way, you know, the consolidation is probably 87 to 97. So you're at least talking to 107 next target. So I'd say 104 to 107, the next target on it. But it looks okay here. And as long as technology's strong, should do well.
Okay.
Yep. Okay, we're going to go to the phone lines right now, and we're going to go to
Art in New Jersey.
Good morning.
Good morning, and nice to hear from you two fellas.
Nice to hear from you.
I also 10 minutes before the show, I sent a note in that chat box with the stocks, but I'm going to talk to them. about them now.
Was that Microsoft and Emerson?
No, first one was Cisco.
Cisco?
Yeah, no, it didn't come through.
Didn't come through.
Okay. Maybe because it was too early, you know, a quarter of or so.
Yeah, it's possible, yeah. It's kind of interesting.
Note, you know,
yeah,
like
but anyway, we'll take a look at Cisco, which
okay.
came back from the dead. Now everybody loves it.
Yeah, I bought that at 15 along with Oracle, and then I sold Oracle off at 30, but I held this. I see it's 45.93 right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's you know there was an article in Barron's this weekend. There's a lot of challenges to this networking area, you know,
about Arista.
Yeah, and from you know the upstart companies and so forth. But you know, I mean, your upside objective is 57 on it.
57.
Yeah, yeah.
What is that from the point and
from the point and figure objective? Yeah, and
right.
And looking.
Technically or fundamentally, what is that chart, when you use that, does that indicate the future possible potential for that stock? Or?
Well, it's a way that they have developed over the many, many, many years of a price target, okay?
Right.
It you know, that's all it is. It's a price target based on this method. I can come up with price targets based on 15 other methods, you know.
Right.
So there's no magic, you know, way of coming up with where this stock could go to. You know,
absolutely.
A fundamentalist might come up with, okay, earnings are going to grow this much, and the P was this much, and therefore, if earnings grow 20% and the P stays the same, stock could go up 20%. There's all sorts of different things you can do.
Right.
You know?
This is based basically just on the.
This is based on charting,
price.
You know,
right.
A charting approach.
Sure.
And
my approach usually is fundamental plus bottom fishing, but I do appreciate hearing from people that do the technical part.
Right, exactly. So you know,
gives me a little more info.
Price second action is very important. Very important. Yep.
Okay. The volume is like going up too. Has something to do with it?
Well, that I can't see on it on the point and figure chart. You know.
Oh, okay.
And volume, you know, trying to analyze by volume, very tricky. Very tricky.
Right.
Very hard.
I see if a stock takes a dive at a high volume, usually that gives me a warning signal.
Well, normally, if it's going up a lot and it takes a dive on high volume, that can be
it's
a warning.
Too late usually.
But usually when a stock gets hit hard after going down long on very high volume, that could be the bottom, you know.
Yeah. And I know the banks are in the news, so the second item is Bank of America. It's closed at 30.92. I paid $6 for this. But many years ago, you know, I've held on to it, even before Merrill Lynch, before they took that over.
Yeah, and just on Cisco, their earnings come out after the close on Wednesday, the 16th.
Wednesday, right. Yeah, I'm going to watch for that. I saw that in Barron's. How about Bank of America?
Well, if you really want to laugh.
Yes, I'd like to.
Price objective 74.5, right?
Oh, that's great.
So,
if I'm still alive at that time, it never gets to that.
But you know what I'm looking at is, and this is kind of, you know, right now it closed at 30.92, right? Mm-hmm. Previous high was in the 33 area, so you certainly want to see that taken out. Watch the 200-day moving average, okay, which is around 28.
Right.
I would not want to see that below 28, right?
Okay.
And you know, and a lot of times, you know, people hear you say the 200-day moving average. The real reason why the 200-day moving average is important, okay, is that it's been used by many people over the years for whatever reason, okay? So a lot of people follow it, the funds follow it, the computer programs follow it,
right.
And so it becomes almost self-fulfilling, the 200-day, mm-hmm. Right?
Do they use the 50-day in conjunction?
Oh, you can use the 50-day too. You know, the programs use the 50. You prefer to see it above the 50, which this at the moment is just barely above the 50.
Right.
I mean, I like to see it above both of them, but the 200's like the dividing line for many programs, institutions, and so forth. They don't like to see their stocks go under the 200-day, you know.
Sure.
Now, is there any other tremendous meaning to prove that? I don't know. But since everybody uses it, it's
trading.
Important. You know.
I would think 50.
My last item, I don't know, can you check for me on a mutual fund? I have the code letters for
mm-hmm.
it.
Yeah.
TWCUX. It's an American Century Ultra Fund, and it closed at 47.37. Now, I've held this since 1982.
Boy, oh boy, I'll tell you, you're amazing.
Well, I bought it at 7. Now it's 47.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the thing I like about this is every year in December, they kick out such a capital gain. It's amazing. And then in January, February, the price shoots right back to what it was before the capital gain. So it's like a self payout.
Well, I mean, you know, capital gains don't mean anything to me, really. You know, I mean, it's nice that it comes back after that. But all they're doing is selling stock and paying back out of what they've sold, you know. And so it obviously reduces the price, you know.
Oh, yes.
By the capital gain, you know. So it's kind of a mathematical game, you know. So,
oh, yeah.
It works for him.
And what you don't want to do is, if you're going to buy a mutual fund, you certainly don't want to buy it before they're going to be due to the big end distribution at the end of the year.
You should be cognizant of that.
Be aware of that.
You
know, in taxable accounts, you know, because you're going to get hit for a tax for something you didn't get, you know. So.
Right, right.
But anyway, I mean, looking at it, I mean, right now it's up against, on the point figure chart, a triple top at 47.20.
Right.
And a break to 48 would be a new breakout, you know, and it looks very positive in here, no question about it. So I'd like to see the breakout.
I think.
But, you know, under the 200-day 43 or under the recent low 42.40, then be a little concerned, you know, but you've held so many years, I don't think you get concerned. So.
No. Yeah, I saw that the average gain of it is about 16% over a five-year period.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, you know, the price has been very good. That's what I like.
No question.
Well, you guys have been a tremendous information. I really appreciate it.
Well, we appreciate the call.
Technically, you guys are very astute. I give you credit. I'm going to enjoy the rest of the show.
Okay. Right. Thanks, you very much for calling.
Enjoy
Have a good weekend there. Take care.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, phone numbers to call. Phone lines are wide open, 803-1520, toll-free, 800-879-7541. And if you do have trouble getting in, you could try 803-0321, 803-0323, or 803-0324. Could give you some more, but that's enough, you know, in case you have a problem. Also, I will mention the chat box again at the saperston.com website. Go to the Dollar Doctor tab. There's a drop down the live streaming. Go to the bottom of the page. There's a chat box if you want to type in a symbol. You can put that in there and tell us whether you're looking to buy it, sell it, or hold it. Okay, right now we're going to go to Bob. Good morning.
Good morning, Peter. Good morning, David.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Happy Mother's Day.
Same to you.
I'm okay. To add to your philosophical banter, there are no absolute truths in this universe.
Well, I don't know. There may be some, but...
No, there are none.
Yeah, there's an absolute truth that you will die.
Yeah, but I could go into a philosophical banter about what death really is.
Well, okay. But you will physically die.
I will. I actually would love to teach a class in that, but I don't think people want that much truth.
No, that's for sure. These days, people don't want truth at all. They like fake truth. But
yeah,
anyway.
Exactly. Yeah, so I thought the dreamer would call in.
Well, we appreciate that.
Well, for one thing, gold's still over 1,300.
Well, that's interesting, you know, and what I find interesting is that, you know, some people, you know, they try to think gold's going to go way up and they play any old gold stock. You can't do that.
No.
There are some doing, you know, take a look at that Kirkland, okay, KL. Keeps
right.
making new highs all the time.
Right, and they just bought a, I didn't get a chance to read the report. It just came out about their involvement with Novo.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they upped something and bought more or whatever. I didn't get a chance to read the whole report, so there's something going on there.
But you know, it's almost like you know it's a stock picker's situation, you know. So I would not, you know, go whole hog on any gold stock or a gold ETF or anything like that, you know. I'd look at those that for some reason are doing exceptionally well, you know, while gold is just basically sitting there.
Right.
Yeah. You know.
Me too, except I'm still a dreamer.
Well, that's okay.
My baby's still up five figures profit, low five figures, so.
Low five figures?
Yeah, huh? It's a paper profit, you know, but I'm still holding out for the big stuff.
Well, there you go. You can be like Art, holding stuff. What do you say, since 1982 or something?
Oh, yeah, it was old, 80s.
Yeah.
And then the dollar's been going up too. So it's interesting that the dollar's going up and it's still over 1,300.
Yeah, it's you know, some relationships seem to work for a while, then they don't work, you know, and it's just been kind of weird, you know. I mean, even gold, right? It doesn't react to any political things.
It's been just sitting there.
Yeah, it used to react to every single thing geopolitically. Doesn't seem to do it, you know. I mean, I look at you know, a chart of GLD or SLV and silver, they look comatose, you know.
They're getting used to us just winning everything.
I guess that it.
which tells me I'm going back to what I said in January. Gold, silver, platinum are undervalued, and they're going to pop.
Yep. I mean, based on, you know, just going in a very tight range, it says they're going to break one way or the other.
Right. But so far, it hasn't gone below 13. I'm amazed.
Yeah, it's just amazing. Just the boringest charts in the world that I've ever seen.
But for all the dreamers out there who have patience, of course, I'm probably the only one.
Could be.
I've got USGDF.
USGDF?
Yes.
What the heck is that?
Well, of course, it's a gold stock.
Well, that I realize, but what's the name of it? I can't even pull that up. Let me try another one here. I think they banned it from all the sites.
It works at Yahoo.
Yeah, I can't find it. Either.
I'll go to stock charts, try that one. Even that doesn't. You're kidding me.
I guess I'll have to call back in a month or two.
Yeah, you'll have to call, or you're going to have to say that, you know, this looks like a conspiracy.
It's a real junior.
Unbelievable. You hit the winner this day.
Well, unfortunately, the last 5 or 6 weeks has been really, financially, I've been terrorized. So I have to wait a little bit, but I'm seriously looking at this one.
What does it trade at? What price?
Last time I looked, it was around 30 cents.
Ah, okay. That's why it doesn't hit anybody's radar, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, it's for the dreamers with a long-term outlook.
Very, very interesting.
But I'm going to keep an eye on it. What it was, I forgot the name of it, but it was a Tuscarora area out west, and it was owned by Novo.
Hmm.
But when Novo found and did some research on their property in Australia, they sold it off so that they could work in Australia and develop the mine there.
American Pacific Mining is what it's called.
Is that what it is, really?
Know. Okay. David, you're good.
It was down 8 cents on Friday.
8 cents on a 30 cent stock? Holy cow.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. It was down 0.0008.
That's better.
Sorry. Excuse me. It was down a quarter of a percent.
Don't mind us.
I don't remember, though, that Nova was selling for 49 cents.
I was
going to
say that. I remember that, yeah. And now it's almost 10 times that, right?
Yeah, the last I looked was 4.25.
Was it really?
Yeah. Hmm. And it hit on that news with KL, but I didn't read it, so I don't know what the news was. And I think it went up to about 460 yesterday.
Oh, did it?
So it's bouncing. It's getting activated again. So, and then they did some whatever mining samples, and they found 80 nuggets in their sample.
So I don't even know what that means, but
it means that somebody dropped a bunch of nuggets in the sample.
What it means is they can't do samples the way most gold mines do. They're just going to have to mine.
Oh, okay, I got you.
In other words, you know, the whole setup, the way it is in nature, just doesn't work the way most mines.
Oh, okay. Because it was interesting, because it broke out and then got slammed back down yesterday. From 464 to 435.
Right.
You know, yeah.
And I think it had something to do with a deal with KL, probably a bunch of selling.
Interesting.
So, but anyways, Novo sold that Tuscarora land, and somewhere back in 2014, on one of their drilling, they found 148 grams per ton.
Well, that I know is a lot.
Yeah,
I don't know that much about gold mining, but that I know is a lot.
The whole thing was when they did that, they just didn't have the money to to work into it, so they eventually sold it off. But Novo does have some, I think they have 5% interest in it and some kind of financial deal along with it.
Interesting.
So it's something to watch for
all you dreamers out there. It's a lotto ticket, yep.
With a lot of patience, because everything that really hits the skids eventually comes back. I just wanted to check in.
Well, I appreciate it.
I haven't talked to you guys in a while.
All right. It's been a little quiet so far this morning. We appreciate the call.
Yeah. And you guys enjoy your day.
Okay. Thanks, Bob.
Take care.
Okay. Bye.
Have a good weekend.
Okay. Phone lines are wide open again. 803-1520, toll free, 800-879-7541. And I will mention the chat box again if you don't want to give us a call, although we do like the calls. Go to saperston.com, S-A-P-E-R-S-T-O-N.com. There's a Dollar Doctor tab there. You click on that. You'll see live streaming. Click on live streaming. Go to the bottom of the page, and you can type in a symbol. Tell us whether you're looking to buy it, looking to hold it, looking to sell it, and we can go from there.
Yeah.
So there's a couple of different ways to get into the show. No question about that at all. And one thing I did want to mention, you know, somebody mentioned like averaging down last week. Mm-hmm. And I keep telling people there's so many different approaches to the market. If averaging down works for you and it's worked over the years, then by all means, average down. I know people who average down doesn't work for them.
Right.
They get killed, you know. And, you know, basically they can't take the pressure as they're averaging down or news comes out and so forth. And, you know, it's hard to do. And as I think Victor mentioned last week, he believes in scaling up. And I've heard people say, why don't you keep buying a stock that goes up, you know?
Right.
Right. And what works for
you,
you have to find out.
Right.
Yeah, you have to find out what works for you. You know, there's no one thing. I could say, my God, I became rich on averaging down. So you do it and you lose all your money. You know, so, you know, it's the person behind the wheel, you know, when it really comes down to it.
You got to have a game plan.
Yep. So no question about it. And there's another interesting thing, too. A lot of times you think you know something, you know, you know, that it should work, something should work a certain way. And here's an example from my own account this week. You know, what would you do? You have a stock, it was trading at, I had taken half profits on it, so I made money on it. I was still in a decent profit position on the other half. Earnings were coming out at 5 for this particular stock, 5 p.m., right? All of a sudden during the day, stock starts getting hit, right? And at one point it's down over 15%.
Mm-hmm.
What would you think was going on?
Oh, I thought you asked me what would I do.
What would you do?
I would buy a lot more of it.
Oh, there you go. You'd average down. I looked at earnings are coming out at 5 p.m.
Right. You think it's bad news or something.
Bad news is coming out, right?
You would think.
So I sell it. Earnings come out. Good news. I sell it near 7. Guess where it is after market?
10.
11. You know where it is the other day? 18. But it seemed logical, you know. It seemed logical, you know. Somebody knows something, right?
You got to use the George Costanza method, which
What's
is
that?
Do the opposite.
Do the opposite. Anyway, give us a phone call 803-1520, toll free 800-879-7541. And if Dan can wait 1 minute, we will take a quick 1 minute break. We'll be right back.
You are listening to The Dollar Doctors, every Saturday morning, live from 10 to 11, Willard Saperston and Peter Greco of Saperston Asset Management answer your questions about stocks, bonds, and mutual funds. The Dollar Doctors are heard live every Saturday morning on ESPN 1520 Buffalo. Their shows are also available 24/7 at saperston.com. Years of previous shows are available there. The Dollar Doctors show is also rebroadcast Saturday night at midnight. If you'd like to have Saperston Asset Management evaluate your portfolio and discuss management services, you can contact Willard or Peter by calling in Buffalo 854-7541 or toll-free 800-879-7541. Again, in Buffalo, 854-7541, toll-free 800-879-7541. Now back to the Dollar Doctors.
Welcome back to the Dollar Doctor Show, brought to you by Saperstein Asset Management, member FINRA, SIPC, registered with the MSRB and an RIA. Phone lines are wide open. Give us a call, 803-1520, toll-free 800-879-7541, or go to our website, saperstein.com, hit the Dollar Doctor tab, live streaming pops up. Hit live streaming, go to the bottom of the page. There's a chat box. You can put symbol in there, tell us whether you want to buy it, you're looking to sell it, you're looking to hold it. And also, while you're at the website, you know, since we don't do commercials on this show, look through the website. You'll see what services we offer. And, you know, if you're interested in any of those services, you know, there are contact information there at the website. Right now, we're going to go to Dan in Niagara Falls. Good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Hey, I want to ask you guys about one of Dennis's old stocks, URI.
Mm-hmm. URI.
That thing is so hard to understand. Earnings, yeah. It crushes earnings, and it gets slammed.
Well, I've seen that happen with a lot of stocks, though.
Yeah, I know, but this one here just seemed so much more volatile than.
Yeah, it's just very hard. You don't know, you know, what the expectations were.
Uh huh.
You know, and it's not even, you know, maybe the analysts have a certain expectation.
Right.
But maybe the investors had a different expectation.
Uh-huh. So this one came down, I think, to its 200-day moving average.
Right.
And it looks like it found support there.
Yeah, 200-day moving average, 154, closed at 166.
How does it look, Peter?
Well, I mean, you know, it had broken down, but the good part about
it
is...
Oh, it has broken down.
Yeah, you know, it actually, you know, took out a low from, months ago.
Oh, okay.
Which you didn't want to see. But it recovered it, all right? It recovered that low.
So I don't own this one. I was just thinking about it.
Yeah. I mean, you know, having hit the 200-day moving average, bouncing off it, had a heck of a run off it, you know, so that's encouraging, to say the least. I mean, if you looked at the chart, you know, you'd say, well, you know, did this thing just top out up at the 190 area, right?
Right, right.
And then break down after it took out the 58 area, and it broke down and took that out. But, you know, it hit the long-term uptrend line, hit the 200-day moving average, rallied strongly off that.
Mm-hmm.
That tells you buyers were waiting, you know.
So how would you look at this one then, Peter?
Well, what your problem is, is that, you know, basically, the interesting thing is, I mean, on the chart, you're saying, well, we're coming back into where there was a lot of activity. So you got, I know this one other guy, he sees this overhead resistance, he doesn't like it, right?
Uh-huh.
He says, well, you got all this overhead resistance because it traded there for a long time, you know.
Okay.
You know.
And where does that come in, Peter?
What's that? Well, basically, the overhead resistance is anywhere from 158 back up to 190, right?
Oh, wow.
But you know, should you worry about that?
Uh-huh.
I mean, yeah. This guy does. He doesn't like it, right?
Uh-huh.
Is he right? I don't know. You know, that's the approach he uses. I don't like overhead resistance,
uh-huh.
So I'm not going to buy into overhead resistance. The other side of the coin, a strong rally off 200-day moving average told you buyers were anxious and willing to buy it.
Uh-huh.
So, and if you want to take the price objective, believe it or not, it's 214, all right?
Okay, 214.
So, you know, you're going to have to use, it's not that bad, you know, the 200-day moving average again, you know. And you want to see it get above the 50-day, which is 171. Okay, because I think that would add more buying, you know, from institutions,
more buying
from computer programs. But,
right.
You know, the risk down the 154, it's not bad.
Uh-huh.
12
okay.
points on 166, what's right. that, 7%, 8%, you know.
Okay, so I'll keep an eye on that.
Yeah,
one.
That one I think is worthwhile to look at.
Haven't heard from Dennis in a while.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe he stayed in Florida longer.
Yeah. It's always interesting to listen to his his thoughts on things.
Yeah, I wanted to talk to him about one he got me in where we probably both got creamed.
Oh, boy.
But that was a low price, you know, once again, biotech.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, it was a disaster.
Oh yeah, I heard you guys. I heard you were talking about something, but I missed the stock you were talking about.
Well, I mean, the one he was Celadex, CLDX.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, I'm sitting there with it, and luckily I don't have a lot of it, you know, for myself, you know, very small.
No, you were talking about one before the commercial break, and I missed which one you were talking about, where you said it went to 11, then it went to 18.
Oh, yeah, I mean, it's H-E-A-R, Turtle Creek.
E-A-R, here?
H-E-A, it's called here, right?
Oh, okay.
And I was talking to David during the break. I said, and then on top of that, I said, after it, you know, opened at 11, it went to 13. I think it closed at 13. So on Friday, I'm not really paying that much attention to it. It got down to 10-something, right? So you figured, oh, boy, you know, now all the guys who played it are getting out of this thing, right?
From 18, it went down to 10?
It went down to 10, yeah. But you know where it went up to during the day after that?
No.
18.
So it went bottom to 10, back up to 18?
Yep. I think it closed at 15 or 16.
Oh, that's amazing. That's one day.
I don't think I could take those anyway. Hey, what do you guys think about Valiant right now? How does that look?
Well, there's a very negative article on it in Barron's, for what it's worth.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, so this may be a fake rally.
So except for what it's worth. I mean, you know, they bounced off what they said was good earnings, you know.
Right.
But then Barron's kind of tore it all apart.
Hmm.
You know, and
where is it at, around 20 or something right now?
Yeah, right in that area. They get closed at 2085, you know.
It's a symbol, Peter.
VRX.
Right.
But they're changing their name, I think, to Bausch, because they bought Bausch.
Yeah, I heard about that.
They bought Bausch, you know.
Well, all these scammers, they all come up with all this stuff, you know.
Yeah.
Change the name, do this, do that.
Yeah, so the whole catch is going to be, can it get above 24? You know, that would be the next resistance. I mean, it keeps making higher bottoms, you know.
Right.
So I'd probably keep an eye on it. But, you know, when this thing comes down, you know, got up to 24, dropped to what, 14?
Yeah.
I mean, it's very volatile, you know. I think
so
before
it doesn't, looking at technically right now, it doesn't.
Well, having run up, I don't know if I'd chase it at this point, you know.
So where do you see support on this one here, then?
Well, unfortunately, you're back at the 250-day moving average, 16 to 17 area. You know, 16. It's not that far.
Okay, 16 and 17.
I mean, obviously, if it got back below the 200-day, then I'd get very concerned again. You know. So,
what do you guys think in general of the banking sector at this point?
I love it.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you're having problems with the spread, you know, and interest rates. But, you know, the other side of the coin is the earn. You know, I just saw something. I think it was in Barron's today. They're looking for earnings to go from, I don't know if it was this year or whatever, from $5-something to $9. A share on Citigroup, you know.
Oh, okay.
And so the banks have been under a lot of pressure here.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, the bank brokerage, the Citis, the Morgan Stanleys, those things have had a little bit of difficulty here, a little rough ride. But some of the other ones, the regional banks and some of the peer banks, have been doing well.
You was it Evercore or something?
Yeah.
You know, you look at some of these bank stocks, they're going straight up.
Yeah.
So once again, you got to pick the right places.
You got to pick your poison.
But so I think there's opportunities there. There's no question about it. You know.
I wonder if I could get you guys to take a look at one for me. TD. See what your thoughts are on that one.
Is it TD Ameritrade? Is that it?
It's actually
Toronto
TD.
Dominion.
Toronto Dominion.
Okay, yeah, that's it. That's holding up pretty nicely, to tell you the truth. I mean, after running up to 61, it's been consolidating between, say, about 55 and 61.
Okay.
Closed at 58.38.
Yeah, it's making lower tops, you know, but it's been holding support, and it's been holding the previous breakout area, which was around 54, 55, you know. And you got the 200-day at 56.
Okay.
You know, the 50-day is just about there, so I would use that as potential support for it. Wouldn't want to see it dropping to, say, 54. Then that could be a problem.
And where is it now?
And it closed at
58.38.
You know, so it's above its 200-day, above its 50-day. Could be interesting.
Okay.
Yep.
Can I ask you guys one more?
Sure.
Adobe. ADBE.
I know it had been doing very well this year. I don't know lately how it's been doing, but.
Well, it just recently broke.
Boy,
out
broke
of
out
a
again! Holy
area.
Cow! Well, target for what it's worth in the point and figures 284.
Closed at 241.
Closed at 241.
It broke out of an area it was trading in, like around 230, I think.
For a long time, it was about 228 to 208, to 228 broke out. You know, support should be, you know, at worst the 50-day, which is 223, right?
223.
But you'd like to see that breakout area, you know, hold, you know.
Which was around the 230?
Say 228 to 230.
Okay. Yeah, no, this one...
Looks very strong.
It looks very strong. And,
yep.
And when the market came down, this thing, I mean, it held its 50-day. It didn't...
Oh, yeah, yeah. It held that.
Always a strong indicator.
It only came down, what did it come down? Less than 10%, I guess.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, guys.
Okay.
Great show.
Thank you very much.
Have a great weekend.
Thank you. Okay, phone numbers to call, 803-1520, toll-free, 800-879-7541.
Couple of questions or general market question in the chat box, not stock specific, but somebody asked general market question, what effect does a special counsel final report points to nefarious activity by the president or impeachment vote by the House if the Democrats take the House in the fall? Conversely, inspector general report showing illegal activity by the past administration by FBI and CIA to undermine the campaign of Trump and his administration.
So, well, as I always tell with news, you never know.
Right.
A lot of times what you think is going to be negative turns out the market goes up.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, they impeached Bill Clinton in the 90s, and the market had a great rip.
Right. Yeah. Everybody said, for example, when the Iran deal, we pulled out of that, was going to kill the market. It went down briefly, ended up flat, and then it took off after that. Okay. Yeah. So you never know. Trying to anticipate what news is going to do, forget it. I have no way of knowing, you know, what they're going to look at. You could guess, but it's stupid to guess, you know.
It's hard.
You know.
Yeah.
I mean, I would say in the second case, what was the second part of that? I would think that would be positive if they found that the Justice Department or...
Well, no, they're saying that the Democrats tried to impede the Trump election.
That the Democrats tried to impeach?
Yeah, they're just saying, the one side is saying the Republicans are the bad actors, and the second question was that the Democrats did something bad.
Yeah. I mean, I really don't know.
It goes on all the time.
Yeah, I really don't know. I mean, like I say, I guarantee you most of the time when news comes out, the effect will be opposite to what you think it's going to be.
A lot of times,
I can't really answer that.
Yeah.
Okay, phone numbers to call. 803-1520, toll-free, 800-879-7541. We're going to go next to Vic in Amherst. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. Back in the frozen tundra now.
There you go.
Yeah, you go from, you almost needed air conditioning the other day to my heat comes on the following day, right?
Yeah, I know. You know, but what are you going to do?
Not too much. It's like, hey.
Yeah. It was getting a little steamy in Florida anyway, so this isn't too bad. Peter, I wonder if you saw a few weeks ago, Barron's had an article about Barry Diller's company.
Oh, I did. I've had this on a sheet here, that how IAC has done much better than Berkshire Hathaway.
Isn't that amazing?
Absolutely amazing.
Over 20 years.
Yeah.
And I've been looking at it, and a couple weeks ago, Facebook announced that they were going to get into the dating game, and one of IAC's big companies, Match.com.
Don't even mention it.
Yeah, and
that's upsetting. I did the exact wrong thing. I panicked on that. I mean, I had a stock. She had a double in it. And believe me, this doesn't happen all the time, right? But she had a double. I had bought her Match.com, right? And it had gone up more than a double. I think she had almost a triple. It was up at 47. Mm-hmm. Then, as you said, the news came out, it's down 10, right?
Yeah.
And then I said, oh, my God, you know. And then all of a sudden, somebody came out and said, Facebook is going to kill Match the same way they're killing Snap and so forth and so on. And I said, okay. So I called her up, and I said, we have a double. Let's take it, right? So we get out around 36 maybe, 35 something, you know. And now we're to close, over 40, right?
Yeah. I saw an interview on CNBC with the president of IAC, and he said that Facebook could come into the market if they want. but we have a 23-year head start,
mm-hmm.
and the penetration of people that are into dating sites is still relatively small. And he was saying that they could get into the market, and we could still have a fairly high level of penetration. But I wanted to ask you about IAC because they got. By the way, beyond Matchbook or Match.com, they have Expedia and TripAdvisor. If you bought either of those companies,
oh yeah,
you would have gotten a great return. But IAC got hammered, and then they came out with earnings this week, and they recovered somewhat. And I was looking at the chart, and I was wondering if it's safe to dabble or what you think.
Well, this is another one. Bounced right off its 200-day moving average. Right? So the big institutions and so forth, they had their programs right in there, right?
Yeah. It's like 130,
yeah.
And boom.
And boom, yeah. And,
friendly 18 points.
And I forgot, how this is over 20 years trounced Berkshire Hathaway for total return. I mean,
yeah,
no question about it. So, I mean, if you were to buy it, all right, you're going to use that 132 area,
Okay.
And what you want to see now is it to go above 154, which is the 50-day moving average.
Okay, that's what I was going to ask you. So that would really be key, right?
Exactly, yep.
So if it crept up close to 154, or do you think that it needs to get to 154 to sustain the uptrend?
Well, I mean, I'd like to see that. But once again, when you have a strong rebound off the 200-day, that's telling you the big money is still interested in the company,
Yeah.
So, like I say, if you wanted to buy a little and you say, hey, and if it did drop to whatever I said, 128 or something around that area, mm-hmm. or below the 200-day, 132, then maybe I'm wrong,
Yeah, okay. If you can, I've got a couple others quickly.
Mm-hmm.
I bought a while ago a company called ResMed, RMD.
RMD, okay.
And I'm looking at maybe buying more. What do you think?
Well, I like it. I mean, it looks very strong. 104, about the 104 area approximately. It'd be a complete breakout if it hit 106.
Close at 102, 101.99.
Yeah. And, support for the stocks around 93, 94. It looks good.
Yeah. Yeah, they make products for sleep apnea and COPD,
mm-hmm.
which is a real major issue in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one I'm looking at is Health Equity, HQY.
HQY, Health Equity. Let's see. Well, it's harder to buy. I mean, it's unbelievably strong stock. Just had just had a nice pullback to around the 60 area, and just broke out again, so it's exceeded its targets. That's just one that you would probably, the 200 days back at 52, I don't think it could take that. And the 50 days at 64, say, all right? So if you're willing to take the risk to 64, you could take a shot. It just made a new high,
Yeah,
otherwise,
the risk-reward might not be so great, right?
It's hard to say, you have to decide whether that risk-reward's worth it, and you don't know what the reward is now, because it's had a gigantic run-up,
Yeah. One really quick story, I called you a while ago about Boeing,
mm-hmm.
and it was at a time when it was really, looked like it was really headed much lower.
Mm-hmm.
But around the same time, I saw a stock option show on CNBC with Carter Worth.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you know who he is.
Yeah.
But he guaranteed that Boeing would go, virtually guaranteed that Boeing would go into the mid-250s. And the people that were on the show agreed with him wholeheartedly. And had he looked at the point and figure chart, he would have seen 312, 315, that area.
Yeah.
It bounced off a couple of times.
Exactly.
But it shows what you've been saying all along. Do your own research. So.
Oh, no question. No question.
So,
yeah.
At any rate, it looks like it's in a lot better shape today.
Well, perfect example. Plus, this Iran thing where, you know, they have $20 billion contracts in Iran didn't affect it at all, did it?
No, not at all.
And somebody could have said, what happens if he pulls out of Iran? Aren't they going to kill Boeing? Well, happen, did it?
Their contract with Iran, it goes into 2019 and 2020.
Mm-hmm.
So they haven't really even committed to that.
Yeah.
So they have so much backlog with other countries that the real issue with Boeing is China, you know, and if we have a trade war with China, but it doesn't look like anything significant is going to materialize.
Yeah,
so,
I mean, I kind of doubt, but it's another example of, you know, you could have said ahead of time, let me get the heck out of Boeing, because if he pulls out of this, you know.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
So, you know, like I say, trying to guess what's going to happen, forget it, you know.
Yeah, that's right.
Yep.
Good talking to you guys.
Okay, good talking to you.
Have a good
weekend.
Thank
you very much for the call.
You too.
Okay, we've reached the end of the show. Probably left the caller on the line.
I don't know if we did.
But at any rate, we're down to the last minute of the show. I think we've brought up some good points, hopefully, you know, for people to keep in mind, especially trying to guess based on news. It's a waste of time, really, totally waste of time. And, as we always say, going into next week, the market had a very good week last week. Hopefully it can keep up so far. Are the sell in May go away? People are going to be wrong. They were wrong 2 years in a row. Can it happen 3 years in a row? Who knows? But,
interesting, last year there were profits. This year there's not. So.
Yeah. Yeah. But do your own research, as we always say. We always say to, always keep a little powder dry, because the markets provide opportunities, especially when you're a little bit more volatile like we are right now. So the volatility, in a way, is somewhat your friend. So always keep a little powder dry until next week. Take care.
Happy Mother's Day.
You've been listening to The Dollar Doctor Show. Every Saturday morning at 10, Willard Saperstein and Peter Greco answer your questions about stocks, bonds, mutual funds, retirement issues, and the economy in general. The Dollar Doctor Show is brought to you by Saperstein Asset Management, member of the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, SIPC, MSRB. Discussion of specific securities should not be construed as recommendations to buy or sell, either by Saperstein Asset Management or AM 1520 WWKB. The Dollar Doctor Show is rebroadcast on Saturday night at midnight. You're invited to join us again then or next Saturday morning at 10 a.m. on AM 1520 WWKB.